Hi, I'm Dr. Tamitha Scove, the Space Weather Woman, and you are listening to audio from my video forecast. So when I reference something to look at or to watch, if you want to see it, just visit my YouTube channel or check it out at spaceweatherwoman.com. And now, here is your forecast. We have a big flare player on the Earth-facing disk and an Earth-directed solar storm. Those stories are more in the news this week. Space weather this week is definitely keeping us on our toes. As we take a look at our Earth-facing disk, you can see the big flare player up there in the north. This is region 2882, and you can see it firing a couple small solar flares right around the 8th, and then wham, right there late on the 8th, it fires an M1.6 class flare along with an Earth-directed solar storm, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. It also causes a couple other solar storms to be launched shortly there later. None of them look like they're really Earth-directed, but we are keeping an eye on this region because it continues to be a big flare player. On top of that, it's also launched a radiation storm, pretty small, but it has those radiation levels a little bit elevated right now. We're going to be watching that over the next couple days. Now, on top of that, we also have a small coronal hole that is going to be rotating into the Earth strike zone here in the next 3 days or so. So we're going to kind of get a 1-2 punch. We're going to get that Earth-directed solar storm, and then we're going to get some fast wind as a chaser. So we definitely have some decent chances for storming and aurora. Now, as we take a look at our far-sighted sun, this is Stereo A, and it's taking a look at the sun just a little bit from the side. You can see back on the 8th, region 2882, wham, as it fires that solar storm. That's the one that's Earth-directed. And now behind it, we also have a few bright regions in the south and one that's rotating into Stereo's view in the north. These regions are not really all that active as far as we can tell, but they will help to keep that solar flux boosted. So amateur radio operators and emergency responders continue to expect marginal radio propagation on Earth's day side over the next few days. And of course, when that solar storm hits, expect some issues on Earth's night side. Now switching to coronagraphs, this is the LASCO coronagraph aboard the SOHO spacecraft, and the view is from Earth. This side has the intensity, the raw images, and this side has the difference images that enhance the features. And when we take a look at the difference imagery, you can see early on the 9th, wham, right there, do you see that big ring going around the sun? Well, that is the solar storm that was launched from during that M1.6 class flare, and that big full ring around the sun tells you that that thing is Earth-directed. And this one's fast too, which means it's going to pack a bit of a punch. So we could have some decent chances for aurora over the next couple days. Now switching to our prediction models, ENLIL. Now this is NOAA's version of the model. The top panel's density, the bottom panel's velocity, and you're looking down at the sun from the North Pole with Earth being off to the right. And as you watch that solar storm being launched, you can see it's coming directly towards Earth. In fact, NOAA has their prediction that of the hit of this solar storm to be about midday on the 11th. And when we take a look at the velocity, which is the speed of the storm coming out, it's actually quite a fast solar storm. So we are anticipating aurora to come down to mid-latitudes. We could see a decent show from this one. And then, of course, we have that fast wind stream coming after it. So it's going to be kind of like a 1-2 punch from that perspective. Now, when we switch to NASA's version of the model, now it's a little bit different, but not too much different. Their prediction, again, you're looking down at the sun from the North Pole with Earth being off to the right. Again, their impact time is showing midday on the 11th. So this is good news that we're having a consensus, and it's also showing it being a direct hit. Now, as we switch over to the Met Office in the UK, the Mosswalk's version of ENLIL, well, their version is also showing a direct hit, but they're showing it impacting just a little bit earlier, about mid-morning on the 11th. So aurora photographers, get your batteries charged and be ready for a bit of a show, starting may possibly early on the 11th, but definitely by midday or even late day, we should be well into a nice solar storm. Switching to our solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are anticipating the hit from that big solar storm that's coming toward Earth. It's going to be a direct hit. So at high latitudes, NOAA is expecting major storm conditions. As a matter of fact, we have about a 70% chance for a major storm starting around the 11th. And this will continue to storm easily into the 12th and possibly then begin to die down just a little bit. But we do have that fast solar wind that's going to be chasing it. So it could easily keep us up into active conditions over the next couple days until about the weekend when things will finally settle down. Now, mid-latitudes, we also have a small chance for a major storm. This is at the G2 level, but likely we're just going to see active conditions. But that's still good enough to give us some decent aurora at mid-latitudes, at least from the 11th and possibly into the 12th before things kind of settle down. And then things will get a lot more sporadic with that fast solar wind that's not going to be all that fast, but it could keep us storming sporadically in through about midweek, possibly the trailing end of the week before things settle down. So it's a good chance to get some decent aurora photos clear into mid-latitudes. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, believe it or not, everything is not in the green because of region 2882, which is a big M-flare player right now. As a matter of fact, NOAA is giving us about a 10% chance of an M-class flare easily over the next couple days, and we'll have to see if that settles down or not. But right now, region 2882 is actually maintaining its big flare posture. So we do have a risk for radio blackouts. You GPS users on Earth's day side, especially near dawn or near dusk, kind of stay vigilant because of those radio blackouts could definitely cause you issues for GPS reception. Now, we also have regions 28, 83, and 84 on the Earth-facing disk, and all of that is keeping that solar flux boosted into the mid-80s. We also have a new region that's going to be rotating into Earth view over the next few days, so that solar flux should stay in that mid-80s and give us a marginal range for radio propagation on Earth's day side easily over the rest of this week. Now, as far as solar radiation storms are concerned, we are at elevated levels right now, and this is due to a very minor radiation storm. It's not at the S1 level, but we do have about a 5% chance over the next few days, possibly over the rest of this week, to have another radiation storm that could possibly be bigger due to region 2882. So you frequent flyers, and this does include air crew who fly at over 800 hours annually and fly at high latitudes and high altitudes, you do have that moderate range for radiation dose right now, and this does include prenatal passengers, so please take this into consideration in your flight plans. So all eyes are on region 2882 this week as it continues to be a big flare player with potential for radio blackouts. So amateur radio operators, you're going to have to kind of stay vigilant. You're going to have a little bit more noise on the bands this week, and you're going to potentially have more radio blackouts. So, you know, on top of your just marginal radio propagation, you could see some issues. Of course, when that solar storm hits, you'll see issues there as well on Earth's night side. And speaking of that solar storm, we do have that Earth-directed solar storm that could pack a bit of a punch. So aurora photographers, definitely keep your batteries charged because we could have a chance for aurora even down into mid-latitudes starting maybe early on the 11th, but definitely by midday we should have a better feel for what the solar storm is doing, and we could see a bit more aurora activity at the trailing end of the storm, especially just because of the way it might be configured. But then also after that, we have some fast wind as a chaser, so aurora views could be sporadic even through, you know, nearing the end of the week. So this could be a really nice chance to catch some decent aurora shots if you haven't had a chance yet. And now you GPS users, well, you know, we do have a big flare player on the Earth-facing disk, and now we're going to have a solar storm on Earth's night side here in the next few days, so GPS reception is going to be a little bit compromised, especially if you're near dawn or dusk. Definitely stay vigilant because of those radio blackouts, and also on Earth's night side, anywhere near aurora, that's a problem for you too. So, you know, you're just going to have to ride this one out, and hopefully next week will be better. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for listening.